Claro.
Good morning, everybody. Are you there in Judges chapter 6, verse 11? Is that kind of cool? Kind of fun? I'm excited. If you know anything about me, I'm a whiteboard like crazy person. So if anybody ever is like, hey, I don't know what to do here, I'm like, let's go to the whiteboard and let's talk about it. So the fact that this iPad is able to be up there is pretty cool. And thank you, Pastor Tom. He figured this out this week, and pretty incredible what technology can do. We are in part two of our series entitled, What Do You Have? All right, what do you have? The tagline is this: I have exactly what I need, or you have exactly what you need to get to where God wants you to go. So say this with me. Say, I have exactly what I need. Come on.
I have exactly what I need
to get to where God wants me to go.
To get to where God wants me to go.
All right, just a little louder. Come on. I have exactly what I need,
I have exactly what I need
to get to where God wants me to go.
Get to where God wants me to go.
And I felt like if I'm going to, as a preacher in the series, have that as my tagline, it seems like we need to take a week and talk about kind of the question, okay, God, so where in the world am I supposed to go? How do I even figure that out? And what does that even look like in my life? And so we're gonna look at the story of Gideon. We're also gonna go to Romans 12. This is the most abstract sermon I've ever done in my life. Let me just say this up front. This is the number one thing that as a preacher people talk to me about. I have more people, not just young people either. Everybody, I don't know. Most people I've talked to, the number one thing isn't, hey, how can I read my Bible more? It's, hey, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with my life. How do I even figure that out? And typically you've always heard, right? Well, read your Bible and pray, right? And that's true. You do need to read your Bible and pray. And it is found in the Word of God. But I really was meditating on this for the last few weeks. And so I'm going to make this abstract thing of finding out God's will as simple and precise as I can. So you got to put your thinking caps on today. Are you ready? All right, so we're in Judges chapter 6, verse 11. And God's people have turned their back on him. And so now they're under oppression from the Midianites. And so we find Gideon in a wine press trying to thresh wheat. Well, he's not supposed to be in a wine press. He was hiding from the Midianites. Okay? And listen. The Bible, I don't have all the time to go through it, but the Bible leading up to this passage talks about how God's people were able to plant seeds. And the enemy did not bother them while they planted seeds. But the moment that the seeds began to produce fruit was when the enemy would come in and steal. Isn't that exactly what sin does? When you're serving sin, what I mean by sin, I mean the absence of God. When you are serving yourself, when you're serving the man, when you're serving whoever, anybody that's not God, when you are in sin, the enemy lets you stay comfortable, right? He'll let you stay comfortable right there. But the moment that you start to produce some fruit is the moment that he comes in. I could just start preaching right now. We already got started yet, right? And so this is where God shows up on the scene to get in. Judges chapter 6, verse 11. Also, for all the theologians, the angel comes to him. Most biblical scholars say that this is a Christophany, which means that it's Christ actually incarnated, which means in flesh, coming to Gideon. So this is a really important Old Testament passage that we should study. I would encourage you to read it. Just like last week, read your whole Bible this week, okay? It'd be great. Judges chapter 6, verse 11. Then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree at Ophrah. It's not Oprah, it's Ophrah. We're all getting cars. I don't know. Which belonged to Joash of the clan of Abiezer. Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of a wine press to hide the grain from the Midianites, right? That makes sense. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, Mighty hero, the Lord is with you. Sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt, which we talked about last week? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites. Then the Lord turned to him and said, Go with the strength you have. Right? We're in the series, What Do You Have? This is a very key passage I want to talk about this morning. And rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. Last week we talked about I am has sent you. Verse 15, but Lord, Gideon replied, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family. The Lord said to him, I will be with you. And he says, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man. I've entitled this message this morning, the subject I want to preach from is God is a mathematical genius. When I think of the life of Gideon, we're going to talk about it today. The first thing I think of, if you know the story, he's a mathematical genius. And I'm so thankful today that when it comes to the calling and will of God that God has for me, my math doesn't always have to add up as long as his does. And so at some point, we have a point of faith where we say, God, you are a mathematical genius. And we're going to get into that today. Y'all ready? Father, we love you. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you, God, it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Now, God, I pray that what you've downloaded in my heart this week and these last few months, that, God, you would download it in our church today. God, let us not just be hearers of your word, but let us be doers of your word. Change our tomorrow. And we give you all the praise for it. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. You can be seated. Thank you, Pastor Tom. How many of you growing up were good at math? All right. How many of you growing up couldn't stand those that were good at math? Two hands. That's a first. And the foot. How many of you were good at math, but you couldn't stand those that couldn't stand those that were good at math? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah? Because my wife was one of those people. Growing up, I know this is really crazy, but this is the truth. When I was growing up, like in elementary school, my parents would do car rides. Of course, we would drive to places. We didn't do horse and buggy or whatever. We used vehicles. I know, it's crazy. And in the car ride, two things would happen. Number one is this, is either we would listen to AM radio, which for all the young people, there is this thing on the dial. It's called AM. It's not like a mixture of PM and AM. There's AM and there's FM. I know you know about FM, but AM is where, I don't even have a good acronym for that, but there's an AM there. Well, for me, at about the age of 4 years old is where my parents started listening to AM. And I'm at that point now where I'm like transferring over from FM to AM. Like sometimes you don't know if you get in my car, I might be FM tomorrow. Tuesday, I might just be a little AM talk radio. You know, I'm just kind of at that point in my life. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Am I crazy? I am crazy. And so we would listen to talk radio, or we would do long division in the car. So it goes something like this. We would be completely dead quiet. My dad would be thinking of an equation in his mind. And all of a sudden, he would just go, okay, you ready, Glenn? I'm like, yeah, let's do it. I'm in the back, big red hair, puffy. Looked like Carrot Top. Looked exactly like Carrot Top. Side note, when I was like in 10th grade, I grew up my hair because I was a part of the soccer team for a season. And I ran into Carrot Top at the YMCA because he actually lives in Orlando. It was weird. Because our hair looked exactly the same. We were like, whoa, bro. Whoa. Too close. I don't know what that had to do with anything. I had a Dr. Pepper in between services, so we're going to see how this goes. Okay. And so we would listen to AM 580, or we would do long division. So he would go, all right, you ready? And so he would go, 1,458 divided by 16 multiplied by 372 minus 412 plus 2. And I'd be like, okay. I'd write all the numbers, but I'm not allowed to do it. I had to do it in my head. That was the idea. We were in the car. So then it'd be like 10 minutes later, no AM Friday. It'd be dead quiet. All of a sudden, I'd be like, 478, you know? And then he would be like, no, it's 476. Let's go through why it went wrong or whatever. And so needless to say, my parents had great hopes for me growing up in life. They really thought I was going to do great things with my life in mathematics until I got to high school. And I really loved math growing up. In fact, I still love math now. I just love math with numbers. And in high school, I don't know what happened or who some sick person ever changed it or whatever, but they decided to replace numbers with letters. Does that bother anybody else? So I used to walk into math class like with joy, and now I walk into math, even now, I have like bitterness in my heart right now, just even thinking about it. And so I knew my wife. Actually, I met her in sixth grade. We weren't married then, just for record. But I did know her, and she is a mathematical genius. She won like math awards, and basically, I married a very good-looking nerd. And I did say that first service with her in the room, so don't think whatever. And I just look like a nerd, but she actually is a nerd. And that's probably why she became a pharmacist. And so she helped me through high school and also through college, and I did actually graduate college, thank the Lord. And every time we get into an equation, I would automatically go, girl, you are a mathematical genius, you know? And I'm here to tell you that when it comes to God's will for your life, and your circumstances and what you have and just everything about you. He's a mathematical genius. God is a mathematical genius. And so this morning, if we could put it up on the iPad, I came up with an equation. I want to give you an equation to finding God's will. Now, let me just say for a second, I want to make a disclaimer. Because as a preacher of the Bible, I can't stand what I just said. Because you cannot calculate God. So I want to be very, very clear. I'm not trying to calculate God. I'm not trying to put him into an equation. I'm simply going to want to bring something, some clarity to you, the class today. I'm going to be your teacher, all right? Yeah, it's happening. We're going to get graded. There's tests outside. You're not able to leave the doors until you pass it. And I just dropped that. Thank you, sir. I guess actually I just need a flashlight. This is pretty handy and dandy and stuff. So here's the equation. You ready? Oh, brother. Here we go. Here's the equation to finding God's will for your life. So this is to bring clarity. You with me? All right, here we go. It's this. It's God plus you multiplied by faith equals calling. Aren't you proud of me that I actually did an equation with all letters? My wife was so proud of me. God plus you multiplied by faith equals calling. Now let's look at the God just for, look at G for a second. God is constant. If you know anything about math, you have to have a constant in the equation in order to actually find out the equation. Am I right? In fact, actually, sometimes you need two constants in the equation in order to find out the equation. Some of y'all are like, I have no idea what you're talking about, but I'm just going to trust you. Just that's fine. So in this equation, God is constant. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says he's the same yesterday, same today, and forevermore. God does not change. His love, his promises, his desire for you does not change. Amen? We can thank him for that. It's awesome. He's a great God. And so, he is constant. I'm going to also venture to say that you're constant. I'm going to talk about what you have and your personality. You are constant. And so let's look at that together. I want to spend a few minutes on you in the equation. Sound good? And so Gideon's going to help us with that in verse 12. Are you there, verse 12? Look at what the angel of the Lord says to him. He appears to him and he says this, "Mighty hero, you're a mighty hero. The Lord is with you." I don't know about you, but when I read this text, because of what Gideon says, I feel like Gideon's like, "I'm sorry, what did you say?" I'm getting my master's program in September, and they just told me that every month I have to write a 25-page paper. I said, no, I'm sorry, I'm 27 years old. I'm sorry, you must have got that mixed up. No, and I'm like, I thought you said I have to write a 25-page paper every month. They're like, no, you do. I'm like, what? You know, so I need this series more than anybody maybe also, because I'm like, God, you got to do what I can't with what I have. So he says, you're a mighty hero. And Gideon says, are you kidding me? Don't you know my track record? Haven't you seen my bank account? Don't you know that my education or lack of education? Don't you know I don't have the personality for that? Don't you know that I this doesn't line up for me? Don't you understand? In fact, verses 15 and 16, he goes on to say, don't you know my family line? I'm the weakest. Our clan's the weakest in all of Manasseh, and I'm the run of the litter. I'm the pup that never quite made it in the litter. Right? That's Gideon's response. And then Gideon goes on to ask a question that I wanted to address today. In verse 13, he says this. He says, sir, if God's with us, why is all this happening to us? And where are all the miracles everybody's talking about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt, but now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites? You ever thought that before? I hear people talk about that. Can I tell you, listen, Gideon thought that God abandoned man. But in reality, man had abandoned God. Listen, God does not do evil. I'm going to say it again. He does not do evil. Cancer is not a result of God. AIDS is not a result of God. Death is not a result of God. These are all effects because of sin. Sin destroys. Sin entangles, the Bible says. Sin will disrupt your thinking, and sin will rob you of your perspective, and sin will rob you from the calling of God upon your life. God did not do that. God did not bring this on the Midianites. The result of sin brought them on the brought this on the Midianites. Amen? And God says, I know it looks bad, but I'm going to change it. And here's the crazy thing, Gideon. I'm going to use you. I'm sorry, what? Yeah, no, Gideon, I'm going to use you. You're right here in this service, second service right here, and you're like, man, my circumstances are crazy. I don't know how this is all going to work out. God, where have you been? Where are you? I thought that miracles were supposed to take place. I thought that this, and God is saying, listen, I know it looks bad, but I'm going to use you, mighty hero. And he says, not only am I going to call you a mighty hero, I'm going to turn you into one, because I'm a mathematical genius. I'm a mathematical genius, and my math doesn't add up to your math. And so look at what he says in verse 14. Then the Lord turned to him and he said, go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. Now here's my question this morning. Y'all with me? Here's my question. Whose strength does he have? Is it Gideon's strength in him, or is it God's strength? I would venture to say, this is my personal opinion, I would venture to say it's both. You see, in this moment, God was doing a work in Gideon. So he was going from the guy that was hiding in the wine press to becoming the mighty hero that was spoken over him. And that's as he's becoming a part of the calling of his life. And it's a work of faith. The same work that God wants to do in every single one of you and me today. Amen? He's with us. And so he's doing a work in Gideon, the same thing he wants to do with us. And, which brings me to my last last point is F. If we could put the iPad back up there. God plus you multiplied by your faith. This is your active part in the equation. God is constant, and honestly, you're constant. Because listen, if we redid this equation where it was like God plus you multiplied by three of you, multiplied by your faith equals calling, that would mean that you have to work towards getting to God. That's not the way it works. His grace is he takes you exactly where you are. You plus him multiplied by your faith equals the calling of God upon your life. Amen? Just making sure you're with me. Look at what Romans 12 says. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, hey, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then, listen to me, you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. I felt like I needed to preach this message today because, like I said earlier, this is the number one thing I hear people ask me. How do I figure out God's will? And I'm like, it's so clear. It's really three things this morning. Our faith part, the F, is really three things. Worship God, pass his tests, and walk through his door. Worship God, pass his tests, walk through the door. Worship God, pass his test, walk through the door. And this is exactly what Gideon does. In verses 24 through 26 in Judges chapter 6, for the sake of time, I'm not going to read it. But he says, Gideon gets his boys together, and at the midnight hour, when everybody's out, they go to the altar of Baal, they completely destroy it, and they build an altar to God. It's awesome. And that's exactly where we start. You want to know the will of God for your life? It starts with repentance. It starts with surrender. It starts at an altar. And I don't mean a wooden altar at a church. I'm talking about a real altar in your heart where you say, God, I'm laying it all down. I'm presenting my bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to you. Not because I'm allowed to, or not because I'm all that or whatever, but because of your grace, I'm going to worship you. That's exactly where Gideon started. And then look at chapter 7, verse 2. And we're going to read this together. He passes some tests. Listen to this. Let this just bring some encouragement to you maybe in your life today. Sir, the Lord said to Gideon, you have too many men. What? I'm sorry. I thought you said we have too many men. you just called me to go meet the Midianites. And I, you know, with the army that I have, I got 32,000, roughly, give or take some. You're telling me I got too many men? Yes, you have too many men. Look, I cannot deliver Midian into their hands, or Israel would boast against me. Right? Because listen, the destiny of your life, the calling of God on your life, It's not about the destination. It's not about you becoming the position and you getting the title so that you can be the man and so that everybody can watch you or everybody can look to you or your kids are going to think you're great. The point of it is for him to get the glory. And so we got to go through some tests. I don't like tests. Do you? I'm going to give you one at the end of the service. You're not going to let it. I'm just joking. I'm not going to give you one. You've got to walk through some tests. Look at this. Let's keep going. So he says, verse 3, now announce to the army, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead. So 22,000 men left while 10,000 remained. I'm sorry, what, God? But the Lord said to Gideon, there are still too many men. Okay? Take them down to the water, and I will thin them out for you there. If I say this one shall go with you, he shall go. But if I say this one shall not go with you, he shall not go. What is he doing? He's testing Gideon. He's testing him. Listen, the victory is already won. He's already overcome. And for us, we already know the end of the book. We can go read it tonight in the book of Revelation. It's already been revealed from Jesus to John. We already know the end of the book. It's not about the victory. The victory is going to come. But God wants to do a work in us. He wants to pass some tests. And so Gideon took the men down to the water. The Lord told him, separate those who lap the water with their tongues as a dog laps from those who kneel down to drink. 300 of them drank from cup tins, lapping like dogs. All the rest got down on their knees to drink. The Lord said to Gideon, with the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the others go home. You talk about a test of faith. Gideon was tested. He had a big call in his life, exactly like you. He was tested. Listen, you're going to be tested. Oh, but we're under grace. Okay. So we, by his grace, we're allowed to be tested to give him more glory. Why do we have to be tested? Well, why did the Israelites have to be tested? 40 years. Because it wasn't about getting into the promised land. That really wasn't it. It was about God doing a work in their heart. And it took 40 years for them to figure that out. My prayer is it doesn't take 40 years for me to figure it out and for us to figure it out. You will be tested. Listen, pass his tests. Pass them. Pass them. Honor the king. Allow the Holy Spirit to use you. You say, I can't do it on my own. Exactly. That's why you have to rely on God. It's the beauty of the relationship with God. It's the beauty of finding his will. And which brings me to number 3, which is go through the door. When it comes to your calling, you got to walk through the door that's right in front of you. You know, we all want the door, the last door. We're like, okay, God, what does this thing look like? All right, I'm a mom. Got a white picket fence. We got 3 kids. They all serve God. Is that what it is? That sounds awesome. Okay, I'm a business owner. It's all going to work out. Or I'm a teacher now. Am I going to end up being the principal? What am I being called to do? You know, am I going to do this? Or are we going to have enough 401k here? Is this going to work out? Is this going to work out? And listen. I believe that God will prophesy over you. We believe in spiritual gifts. We believe in the anointing of people that can come and speak a word of blessing and vision over your life. But still, you have to walk through the door that's in front of you. You got to walk through the door that's in front of you. Listen, Gideon was called to kill and conquer the Midianites. But at the moment of having 32,000 people, his door was to get it down to 10,000. Right? And then once he walked through that door, his door was to get it down to 300. Because God is a mathematical genius. So listen, I know we want to have this beautiful system and process and go, oh, this is all going to work out. But the truth is that we have to walk through the next door, and that's where you got to hear from God. You got to worship God, present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to him, pass the test that's in front of you, and then walk through that door. I don't know if you've ever seen Transformers. There's a part in Transformers 3 where the Shia LaBeouf, like the main guy, he's like, he wants to get a job, but he can't get it. I don't know if you remember that part. And the boss gets up there, and he says, listen, son, you want the job that comes after this job, but you don't realize that this is the job that's in front of that job. It's exactly the way with God. We want it down the road, but we don't want to walk through the door. You got to walk through the door. You got to walk through the door that's in your life. Nothing frustrates me more than seeing a young person with all the calling in the world get lazy and not walk through the next door. That frustrates the junk out of me. And then they'll, you know, they'll say something like, well, I'm called to be a youth pastor, so I'm good, because it's going to happen. No, you're called to go grab that mop over there and learn the door of humility. Because it ain't about standing on this stage. It's about becoming the man off the stage so that you can be on the stage. And listen, not just the pulpit stage. I'm talking about every stage of life, every business background, that you have credibility and character, and that when God blesses you, you're actually going to be able to contain it. Well, God has to test you through that, and he gives you doors, and you got to walk through the door that's right in front of you. And I see too many people get paralyzed because they heard a vision from God. They're like, I'm called to be a missionary. I'm called to be a business owner. Well, guess what? Well, then get your butt in the book and learn the Word of God. Digest it. The Bible says it's like honey upon our lips. Get it inside of you so it can change everything a part of you. If you know what you're called to do, then you should work even harder right now on the test to pass it. Not the other way around. That frustrates me when I see a young person just get lazy. I talk to students all the time, like, hey, what'd you do today? I'm chilling. From what? What are you chilling from? I don't know. Chilling? Pastor Tom, you come to the keys. I don't even get that. I got to move on. Second thing that frustrates me is when I see somebody that's older, and when I say older, like over the age of 25, that has become complacent in the door that they have. As if God is done with you. And now it's just on to the next. And so we just get comfortable. Well, my 401k is all right. This is working out okay. I got a pretty stable job here. This is all gonna... That frustrates me too. What if we were a church where every single person walks through the door and they're calling towards God? Every single one, and everybody's got different doors. Don't compare your door to anybody else's. You got a door to walk through today in finding your worship God. You present your bodies as holy and pleasing to God. You pass this test and you walk through the door. And listen, this is the way I say it. And when I talk to young people and all people, honestly, people walk up to me and they say, okay, so how do I figure out the will of God? I take them to Romans 12. It's very, very clear. I don't have any better passage to show you. And then not only the story of Gideon, we could have used probably 50 stories today in the Old Testament about this is God's way of doing it. We present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. We walk, we get tested, and then we walk through the door. This is what happens, right? You know what I'm talking about? You have like three doors in front of you, and you're not sure which one. If you're lucky, you got one door in front of you, and it's really clear. But typically, it's a couple, right? And then that's where you got to start wrestling. Okay, God, what do you, should I go here? Should I go here? You know, the Bible says in Revelation, it says he shuts doors that no man can shut. He opens doors no man can open. So pray that. Okay, God, I'm going to fast today. I'm going to have to take the next 3 days and fast for clarity in my life. I need you to shut some doors in my life. I need you to open some doors. Make it clear. And guess what? You're going to walk through that door. Those two doors go away. And now you got a new set of doors, don't you? New test, right? Another level, another devil is what they kind of say sometimes, huh? And you got to walk through those doors and you say, okay, God, all right, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? You're passing tests, and then you walk through that door, and you get the next set of doors. You want to get the door way down there at the end, but it's not even about that. Because really, the door at the down at the end is just heaven. And we're just going along the path because God is a mathematical genius. He's a mathematical genius. One last equation I want to show you before we stand and pray. If we could put it back up on the screen. If you take this equation, if you know math a little bit, and if this becomes a zero, faith, guess what? No matter how big God is, no matter how great or small you are, anything multiplied by zero is what?
Zero.
Isn't that kind of interesting? That's what the author of Hebrews says in Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is... So there's an act of faith. It is an act of faith way beyond coming to church on Sunday morning or way beyond just lifting up your hand in worship. I'm talking about an active faith of presenting your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, whatever he wants, walking through the, passing the test and walking through the door. And so I want to challenge you, listen, never give up on faith. Keep your faith strong. And you may not like your circumstances. You may not like what you have. You may not like how much money's in your bank account. You may not like the job that you're at. You may not like the situation that you're in. But guess what? In all of that, he's a mathematical genius. And listen, if you're going to go through, if it is a living hell for you, then go through hell. All right? Don't camp there. Don't stay there. Don't shut the open door that God has in front of you. You got to keep pressing on and keep moving on towards God. Amen? Because he is a mathematical genius. Would you stand to your feet this morning? go ahead and close your eyes and bow your heads. And we got a few more minutes in the rest of the service. I specifically, for the next few weeks, I'm going to end about 5 to 10 minutes early because I want to give you time to respond. And we have some prayer partners that are going to come up to the altar this morning. And in just a second, Pastor Tom and the team are going to just, we're going to spend some time in worship to God. And here's my question to you, every head bowed, every eye closed. What is the Holy Spirit speaking to you? What is God saying to you today? You've heard the word. What is God wanting to do in you today? Maybe you want to start a relationship with God, and we want to pray with you for that. Maybe you need a healing in your body. We want to pray with you for that. Maybe you're going through just an incredible trial. We want to pray with you for that. Let me just, every head bowed, every head closed, hear me. We want to pray with you today. We have prayer partners up here. I want to take the last few minutes. We're going to worship God, but I want to give you a moment to respond. I don't just want to be a digesting church. I want to be a responding church. Maybe you need to forgive somebody. You just say, man, I don't know if I can do this alone. I just would like somebody to pray with me. I'm trying to figure out my next step in college, or I'm not trying to figure out my next step in life, or should I buy that house? Should I sell this house? I just need clarity. Listen, the people up here don't have to have all the answers. They're not going to try and counsel you. If they're younger than you, it doesn't even make a difference. Don't even let that bother you. It's just where two or more are gathered in agreement, there he is. And so I don't want you to leave this place without having an opportunity to be prayed for. You're in this place. Every head bowed, every head closed, really, really simply. I'm going to pray over you, and I'm going to count to three, and the worship team is going to play very softly so we can hear up here. And then you're going to have an opportunity to get out and have somebody pray over you. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that God, you would, that nothing would hinder us back from responding to you, that nothing would hinder us back from coming in agreement with somebody else. And Lord, I pray that fear or doubt would not come in, but God, faith would be built up. God, I pray right now in Jesus' name that, God, you would move on our hearts to do your will, to find your will. In Jesus' name, amen. 1, 2, 3. If that's you, if you want to get out of your seat and pray, we're just going to take another minute and worship God today.
Give myself away. I give myself away.